Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is May 22nd, is it? Wow, I thought yesterday was May 22nd. I was writing it all day long. I don't know anymore. It doesn't matter. It's Tuesday morning. We've survived Monday. You're right. It is 8:22. But it is 5:30 in the morning in L.A. It's always still dark out, so it always feels like I'm doing this like midnight special, but really, it's really early in the morning. And this morning, today's show about what does love offer you and how is love a resource. And Christopher Cedre asked me a question about that because, you know, you never think of love offering you anything. But we also don't think of it as a resource because we think of love as something that does something or we are going. So he said, Nadia, could you explain what you mean? Love is an offering. It offers us a solution, a way in and a way out. When we are coming from a place where we love somebody or we love what we're doing, we understand it in a different way. We understand what we're doing in a different way. We understand our relationships in a different way. When our love is injured or very, well, they kind of go hand in hand, insecure about it, or we want something from the person. And, you know, maybe the person doesn't know it. Maybe we don't know it. They may want to fix us, or we may want to fix them. Then we aren't coming from a place of clarity with the other person. So now if the other person does anything, it's going to cause a lot of friction in the relationship. It might look like fighting, arguing, discussing everything, trying to be better, trying to make the relationship work, give everybody what they want, and that goes on and on. However, when love is offered, a warmth and an understanding and a I want you to be happy for the other person, not happy with me, but I like that you're happy when you're happy. I like both of us to know that if anything ever needs to be discussed, that love is our resource. We can always remember, hey, wait a minute, did I do that with love? Because if I didn't, what me to react that way? That maybe I might have something in me that doesn't like that instead of attacking the other person. Because how do we live and let love lead us at the same time? Is that's how. That's how love fits in every day. We don't walk around from love today and then we just try to be nice all day. It's that when your brain shifts into, hey, you know what? Am I doing this because I love it, because I have to, because I couldn't say no? Oh, wow, I couldn't say no. That means I really did not want to do that. I will not do it. And you just don't do it. You say, hey, you know what? You might want to find somebody who either has the time or has the passion to do this. I'm not going to do it any good. So I feel this way. Sometimes we do things. We help each other. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you know, putting your time into something that you are not really into. But at times we save love. We wait. And we say, oh, I don't have to pay attention to them. On their birthday, I'll buy them what they want. They'll know I care.
then you wait until the birthday. You don't pay that much attention. And all of a sudden you give the person a lot of attention. If that person was injured, then everything you do matters because they didn't feel that. And now they go, oh, wow, they really loved me. And you feel like you've made up for lost time. But that's basically saying, I don't have time for you in my everyday life. So one day a year, I could do that. That doesn't usually go very far. But who we spend our time with, who we build our life around, those relationships bond and grow deeper and grow deeper. If there is a period of time, you get really busy in that time. The love is strong enough to sustain both of you. It's really interesting and really beautiful in your mind and in your heart when you think and when you do anything else, when you have a place where you feel free to love the way you know how to love, because then you can offer it. Let's say a woman and a man are dating, and in the beginning, before they really know each other and their idiosyncrasies didn't come into the relationship yet, they feel this freedom they can't believe they feel. They feel so happy. They feel elated. They haven't been challenged yet. Real life, going back to work yet, you know, and not having time and trying to fill in with the challenges hasn't entered the relationship yet. Dating when you can, you almost don't know what they do all day. It doesn't matter. You know, you both know you can't wait to see each other. And then, you know, you start wanting to spend more time together, and you do, and then more. And then all of a sudden real life comes in and you have to do other things as well as have the relationship. If that love gets to stay at least in the neighborhood that it was when you first met, and you both still look forward to seeing each other after work, and you both still want to do things together, want to grow your circle, want to introduce each other to each other's friends, then it will work. But let's say you get in, and now the guy introduces you to all of his friends, wants you to come to his home, wants you to do everything with him, but he doesn't really care about anything in your life. Never met your friends. Never does what you suggest. And when he does, it's a problem. It's like, oh, well, you know, I want to do what you want to do. You know, you start feeling like you can't ask anymore. And then all of a sudden, you're both living one of the two's lives. Love is not offered in that relationship. You're just a plug-in. One of the two, whichever way it goes. Say you get in a relationship and the two of you can't wait to see each other. You visit each other all the time. You meet each other's friends. You get to know each other's lives. Then what happens is you keep offering yourselves over and over again to each other's lives. One is just not being offered and the other is not. Because the offering is reciprocal, a small community builds around that love. People shares is a strength because it's understood by everybody that it exists. It's not always being challenged by an argument or by friction or by frustration because one of the two is not giving to the relationship. Then what happens is everyone starts to use you as a resource. You become this couple that your kids can come to and speak on and get advice from, friends do, When you go out, you share vital information, you grow things, you work for creating service areas for other people, donating time, donating money. Because now the love that exists between the two people has a freedom attached to it that allows those two people to grow and feel very powerful with love behind them. Because every time we talk about love, we all go back to emotionally how we felt loved as a kid. Then we go to what happened to us as teenagers. Then we go to our first relationships, and we all talk about unconditional love. I have to say, if there's a word I cannot hear, I just can't hear it, is unconditional love. And when I hear it, I cringe. I just cringe to my bone. You'd think it would be like a different word, but when someone says the word unconditional love, they scare me to death. Because the people I've heard use that word conditionally, whatever that meant to them, and the fact that they had to keep stating it over and over and over again just would shock me. Because I'd be like, well, what does that mean? And why do you have to say it? But it was a dead giveaway that doesn't exist in them, and they want it to. So they speak on it like it's a mantra. Unconditional love is not a statement. Feel. I never said to my kids, I love you unconditionally. Without conditions, you don't have to do anything to please me. That's very egotistical. And the same people I hear say that try to convince me or convince themselves that they have no ego. Early spiritual movements of, oh, let's find out what the bad things are so we don't do them. But unconditional love, that's a behavior that you can only tell someone through how you've treated them over time. And there isn't anyone I know who doesn't have an ego. Ego is not easy, but it's necessary for why we're on earth. We're here not to be perfect. We're here to learn certain things. And as we learn them, then we grow. And as we grow, the need for ego, the recognition of ego, is the growth to a world, because we have religious worlds and we have a spiritual world. They all have thresholds that people try to say that they're the best spiritual, and everybody, you know, has this race to be more spiritual or kind of out there. There's, I think, a new thing coming out where it's, you know, just be who you are. And who we are is love. Person who understands love enough to know what that means. I have a love for people. I love people. Does it mean that I can bring everyone into my home? I know that's not possible. I even learned over time that that's something I can't do. Don't, one, have enough time, but I've learned through the people I've allowed in my home that that's not okay for me to do. And in some cases, it's a little scary for me. But I admit it. I say, hey, you know what? After what I've seen, I know that's not a good idea for them or for me. But in the beginning, I didn't know the difference. But I learned. Does it mean I stop offering love and I get mad and I say, oh, this happens and that happens? No. I just had to understand what it meant to do it or not to do it. I had to understand that there's certain boundaries that I have to maintain. Does it stop me from offering love? No. Does it stop me from being a resource? No. It just stopped a behavior that didn't work for me. Understanding that shows us a maturity in ourselves that we have grown because we know why. It's not a good or bad thing, it's a fact. But if I were to try to act like that wasn't true and pretend that that didn't matter, then I would be shortchanging you and me doing something that I really had no interest in. About halfway through what we're doing, the person's going to turn around and say, you didn't really want to do this, did you? Well, no, I just couldn't say no. Who would want that response? But let's say the two of you did something and you really loved it and you really appreciated it and you really enjoyed it. And you both would look forward to it happening again. You can offer love to each other by being it. You say you love someone and you do things that hurt the relationship, the other person is not going to believe you. They may know you love them, but then they may say, well, my God, if that's what your definition of love is, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to say I love somebody and keep going on trips without them, or I love somebody and I do things and I don't tell you about them. Purposely hide. And then when I'm with you, I spend my whole time on my gadgets. That's, you could say you could love that person all day long. What's the person going to say that's receiving that love? That love is not a resource in that relationship. So the person who's not actually there, but they're still there, doesn't want to be there anymore because there's no point if that other person isn't spending time with them. There's no resourceful back and forth. There's no energy bouncing back and forth. When you have kids and you do not spend time with them, and the only time you talk to them is when they're getting in trouble, do you believe that child will come to you as a resource? Probably not. Because love was not offered. When we offer love when we don't have to, and we don't have to say it, and we don't have to state it and make a big deal about it. Like, well, I'm an unconditional lover. I love everyone unconditionally. No, you don't. You don't know everyone to know if you would love them unconditionally or not. And we do have an ego. But it's from that old school of thought that love is passive. But love is actually the strongest energy we have, not only the most flexible energy we have, not only the only energy that can give us insecurity because of injury to it, or strength when we overcome those insecurities, when we overcome and heal those injuries. The flexibility of love is immeasurable. You cannot measure it. And you can only feel it tell you that they love you so much and not act on it where you will believe it. Because things won't make sense. So if that's the version of love that that person has of you or of themselves, you have to ask yourself if that works for you. Is it resourceful? Do you have enough resources in that feeling to continue a close bond? Because that's where, when love can't be a resource, the relationship cannot sustain. If you share something big, like a religious view or a spiritual view, or, you know, it both work together, or you love having kids, or you love meeting people, and you spend time growing your circles in life, then you have a very resourceful relationship. And love. Love is offered to both of you. Because love is energy. It is obedient to us. If we understand it, it can come to us full throttle. But what if we don't understand it? We think it's a thing. You bought me this. You took me here. You said you unconditionally love me. You said you don't have an ego. You said you're going to take care of us. And you didn't. There's nothing wrong with you or me. We just don't have enough love to offer each other, which means we don't have the resource. And if we don't have that resource, we can't. We don't have enough fuel in the tank to drive the car. The way I see love now is not person dependent, like I used to think of it. I used to think, oh my God, but we love each other. We don't do that. And then that would happen. Then that meanness would come through. And I'd think, huh, does that mean that they don't love us? Do we work it out? Do we go to counseling? Do we go to therapy? Why can't we talk about this? And you start asking all these questions and you feel pain and you want to go back and you cry and you divorce and all this stuff happened. Now love went from what you thought was great to injured and tears. It's no longer a resource in the relationship. But when I see it as an offering and as a resource, and I think about stuff like that happening, I think, God, I wish I knew that then. I would have known that we didn't have enough love for the relationship to be resourceful. How objective is that when I see a couple and they're struggling? Remember the couple I had? It was probably a year ago now, where the man, and I kind of brought them up loosely in this situation, but where the man, you know, says he loves her, wants her to take care of his kids, wants her to do everything for him, because that was her proving her love to him, but he didn't feel he had to do anything to prove it back. The fact that they even had to use the word prove was a big problem. They could not relationship. They tried. Them just coming to me, I pointed out that you both have to seriously think about this, because you're going to have the yo-yo effect through the duration of the time the two of you know each other. Because the man felt she's lucky he's even there. And that was his part, was being there. And her part was to do everything else. Well, it worked out great for him. He didn't understand why she wanted to leave. There were no resources. He was getting all the resources. So the relationship wasn't resourceful. They were not a resource to people around them because they were too busy entangled in establishing how they were going to offer love to each other. because they couldn't offer it in a healthy way. It didn't mean he was bad or she was bad. It just meant that they could not offer love to each other in a healthy way. And they never got to the resourceful part. They never saw the fruits of their union, of their getting together. And I don't even know if he understands why she's not there anymore. All he really sees is the turnover in his life. And he, honest to God, cannot see it. I could tell him all day long. He thinks other people do that, not him. And he's not a bad guy. He really can't see it. He doesn't know how to offer love, never gotten to the resourceful part. And all it looks like every day when we offer love to each other, all that looks like is the actions we take, the simpleness, the peace, quiet, not expecting the other person to make you happy, that you're sharing your life with them. It is amazing how quiet love is. And that's why when I hear a person, you know, and they're excited about each other and I have unconditional love for her. How do you know that? You don't even get to the resources. You don't even know yet. But you're curious. It's curiosity. And when curiosity is more important than love, then you're going to have a high turnover in meeting people. If there's a fear of love, you can't offer it. So it's going to have a hard time meeting people. When the love is free to flow, and it comes out in action between the two of you, at that point, it can be a resource and is a resource, not only for the two of you, but for the community, for the people who are around you. It comes in how you speak. It's respectful to both people when you can see that love can do that. Simplicity, not the complexity, that gives you that answer. It is amazing to feel because it's so quiet. You guys, I have 10 seconds. We have Relationship Wednesday tomorrow. Have a great Tuesday. I love you. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.